Daily. I'm Kylie Williams, and today I'm joined by the president of Sun Summit Minerals, Sharon Alexander, to follow up on some big news that they put out late last week. Welcome back to the podcast, Sharon. How are you today?
I'm great, Kylie. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. We're glad you could join us. So last Thursday, you put out some news about your JD project, up in North Central BC. Can you tell us a little bit about the new targets that you've defined up there and how things are going at the project?
The JD project is up in the Tootagong, and it really represents a great opportunity for the company, not only to be exploring in a high-grade emerging district, but also it really is a great opportunity for our technical team to return to an area that they're very familiar with. The targets that we outlined are from a review of a lot of the historic data that we found around the JD project, that a lot had never been digitized in the past. So a lot of this was on internal reports. There has been quite a bit of exploration done over the years from the 80s and 90s in the 2010s until today. And so there's been a lot of drilling, sampling, geophysics and mapping as well that really we're putting into this giant compilation of data, the first modern attempt really to do this on the property. And what's emerging from that is some really exciting targets. The release that we had last week was outlining some geochemical anomalies that's in soil and rock samples that are really outstanding, high-grade gold, silver targets, most of which have not been drill tested. And so in addition to the known targets at JD, like Finn and Creek, now we have a better handle on what's really happening between the Finn and Creek area in that corridor, and we see some real high-grade potential there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of exciting news coming out of the Tootagong. It's really, I've heard it described as the golden horseshoe rather than the golden triangle, to include the Tootagong in that northern BC prolific zone. So where are you getting this previous information from? You mentioned reports. Is there some good government data, or is it from previous operators of the project?
It's a mixture of all. So definitely there's been a lot of government surveys. And back in the day, that's how a lot of these early explorers would have had the information. In the 80s and 90s, companies like Kidd Creek Mines and America's Gold Corp did quite a lot of exploration. But as from the name, Tootagong, too doggone far, it was pretty remote. The Golden Triangle is very well known and has a lot of access and infrastructure right now. But back in the day, obviously less so. And that's what the Tootagong region is now going through, a reemergence and really becoming, more developed in terms of its infrastructure. So it's very similar to the Golden Triangle in the age of the rocks and the type of deposits that we're seeing here, some really world-class deposits. Kemess is in the area as well. But recently, there's been a lot of activity. Companies like Benchmark and Thesis Gold, TDG Gold is in the area, HDI AMARC as well. So Thesis has done quite a lot of work on the road that goes into site. And so that is an all-weather access road. There's an airport nearby, the Sturdy Airstrip, which takes planes from Terrace, Smithers, and Prince George. So definitely it's becoming a great region in terms of news coming out from that area. Thesis just put out their combined resource estimate for Lawyers and Ranch. So 4 million ounces measured and indicated, as well as an additional over 200,000 ounce inferred resource of high grade gold. And then as well, they've had a recent discovery at their Bingo Zone. So there's quite a lot of news coming from the area, and us getting in and starting our exploration program is pretty exciting for us to be kind of the new kid on the block.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell me about some of the highlights that you've identified in this historical data. It's mostly gold anomalies in soils. Is that correct?
Yeah, quite a lot of soil, gold in soil anomalism, as well as silver. And you know, we're just starting to take a look. There could even be some base metal anomalism here as well. But in terms of soils, we're seeing, like, if you have a look at the map on the website or on the news release, it really covers quite a large area, over 4 kilometers between the Finn and the Creek zone. And we've colored it based on, you know, pretty high cutoffs in terms of soil anomalies. So we're looking at 5, 6, 7, you know, upwards of 10 gram per ton gold found in soils, which, Kylie, as a geologist, you know that this is pretty outstanding results from soil samples.
Yeah, definitely.
Rock samples, you know, 10, 20, 30, 100, 300 gram per ton gold out of rock samples. So that's grab samples and float samples, as well as, you know, 600, 1,000, 1,500 gram per ton silver. So these are coming from these internal reports that the previous operators had. So I mentioned a few from the 80s and 90s. Tower Resources was there in the 2010s. And that's when our technical advisor, Chris Leslie, was up there doing some boots on ground work, assessment reports from the government. But then, yeah, all the exploration work that has been done in the area by different operators really hadn't been compiled as much as what we're doing now in terms of a data compilation and review. And so this data was all, you know, on PDF maps and things. And so for the surface samples, what we've done is digitize the points and then put the assay values associated with each point into a database. And then when we plot that on a map, you can really see, you know, X marks the spot of where some of this high grade anomalies lie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's been previous drilling. And so that gives us an idea into the subsurface and then the geophysics as well. And so a combination of all the review of all of the data that we have and really, you know, superimposing all the different layers and seeing where there's coincident anomalies would be really good for drill targeting and planning for this summer.
Okay, so speaking of drilling, what do you have planned for your 2024 exploration program, and how are you doing in terms of funding that work up in this part of the world?
I'll start with the exploration planning. So we had a few releases out earlier in the year, in February, for example, talking about the Finn Zone and the Creek Zone. The Finn Zone has seen the majority of drilling in the past, so, you know, 270 drill holes. So the drilling that we'd like to do there is more step-out drilling to the north and the northwest, just to see how big the system could get. At the Creek Zone, there's only about 20 drill holes, but really spectacular results from there, as well as surface samples results from Creek. And so we have some step out drilling planned there. And then in terms of additional drilling, it would be great to start drill testing some of these targets that we identified in the most recent news release. So at the Schmidt or the Wolf Zone, MVT Zone, areas where we're seeing some really high grades in the surface sampling, but have never been drill tested or have been drill tested very, you know, limited number of holes. So in terms of drilling, we are planning a pretty aggressive program this summer. We're also going to be doing an IP geophysical survey over the Creek Zone. This will help identify, you know, sulfides in the ground, look for chargeability highs, and then, of course, the pyrite here is what's associated with the gold and silver. And so we'd be looking for the sulfide signature through the IP. And then sampling, mapping, prospecting, and the typical kind of work, boots on ground work that you would do in this region. So in terms of money, we have been very successful in raising money recently. We just closed a private placement. We raised $2.5 million. This was something that was definitely we're able to get this money as the sentiment had changed in the market. It became more bullish. And so we were introduced to a new group of shareholders. And through this, we really maximized the hard dollar raise. We thought that would be the most practical thing to do while we were in this market and we had the interest that we did. And so we were pretty strategic about curating, you know, a really high quality investor list of those people who believe in the story, were happy to invest and come in at these levels and stay with the company long term. So that's something that we're very happy about. And yeah, it's great to have money in the till, which can be put towards exploration in the ground.
All right. So it sounds like you're all set for a 2024 summer program. You mentioned airport there and some road access. What's the plan for the team this summer? Do you stay on site? Do you have a camp or where do you base yourselves?
So there is a camp on site already. It's fallen into disrepair over the years. And so we'll be up there cleaning it up and doing some camp remediation. So likely we'll be staying at a third party camp this year close by. And so we'll be able to drive up on the road. There's the sturdy airstrip is just there. And it's just north of the Kemess, mining camp. And so the road is quite accessible, especially in the summer. The camp will be staying at a third-party camp, as I mentioned. So we'll be staging out of that camp and doing the short helicopter hop to our drill sites on JD. And the thought is in the second year, we'll set up a more permanent camp on the project site itself and then switch to road-based and trail-based drilling, which would save money from compared to helicopters in the first year.
Yeah, absolutely. Helicopters are fun and convenient, but also pretty pricey. And there's probably some competition for helicopters up there too.
Yeah. And I've been reaching out to the neighbors, I guess we could call them. So Thesis and TDG and HDI AMARC, and I think the region would benefit from us kind of collaborating, working together, especially as resources, vendors and service providers can be a bit tapped out in the summer exploration season. And so, one of the camps that we're going to stay at actually might be a Thesis camp. So we're using the same geological consultants that Benchmark and Thesis used. And we're in touch with some of the other ones that, for example, Cascadia used. So it's just ensuring that you can do the work efficiently and effectively. Mm. And if working together with your neighbors, we'll get that done more easily, then it only brings benefit, I think, to everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who are new to understanding this area, what's the situation at Kemess right now? Tell us a little bit about the Kemess project, because that's probably the biggest one in the region.
Yeah, so really the Kemess mine is what put the Tutagon on the map. It's a open pit copper gold mine. It's currently on care and maintenance. However, there's quite a lot of active, advanced exploration and development going on the Centerra ground just north of that. There's the Kemess underground and east targets. So those are getting rapidly advanced. But everything around the Kemess mine is still in place in terms of the infrastructure, the trails, the hydroelectric power grid is still there. And so this would service whatever other activity would be in the area from a mining perspective. And so it's really great to see a reemergence of this existing mining camp. Another thing that's interesting is it had previously been thought that maybe the copper didn't really extend that far north. We see that at HDI AMARC's Pine Project and in the Joy District. And then, we're finding copper porphyry on the JD project, as is Thesis now on their project area. And so that's pretty interesting. This is the first time that we've seen copper, I guess, as far north on this belt. But it makes sense given in close proximity to Kemess. And so Kemess is really, has put the region on the map, but now all these other explorers and all these new discoveries are really taking it further and making the Tutagon, really propelling it into almost like golden triangle type prospectivity.
Absolutely. And finally, like speaking of activity at the surface, what are the relationships like with the First Nations in this region? I know it's really important, especially as things are changing in BC right now, to maintain those important relationships. So how's that going for the project?
With all of our projects, and that includes the Buck project down in central BC near Smithers, we make sure to establish and maintain really strong relationships with the local communities and Indigenous nations. And this is mutually beneficial, not only for you know, the nations themselves to hear and be transparent with what kind of work is being performed on their traditional territory, but also for the company. It's a strong local workforce. There's quite a lot of First Nations run businesses, drilling, line cutting, as well as employment and training opportunities for a lot of their band members. And so definitely that's something that Sun Summit is looking at, whether it's from permitting to active exploration. All the vendors that we and service providers that we work with know this as well. And so they reach out to the local communities in terms of workforce and training and development. So definitely it's something of importance to us, as is the environmental stewardship and just maintaining, you know, some respect for the lands that a lot of these people use in terms of trapping, hunting, fishing, and just in terms of spiritual activity and things like that. So we are working with the nations in the area for sure.
Awesome. And just to wrap things up here today, what are some of the milestones you're hoping to hit in the next 6 months or so? Like, summer's going to be pretty busy for you with the two projects on the go. What are some of the big highlights, particularly on the JD project?
So 2024, it's looking to be a pretty pivotal year for the company. So definitely we'll be hitting the ground running with an aggressive field program at JD. So rapid project advancement there. We have quite a lot of high potential drill targets at the Finnan Creek Zone, as well as we continue to go through the data, we're identifying additional interesting anomalies and targets that could be drill prospects. In terms of the Buck projects, we are continuing with our initial mineral resource estimate. So we are currently reviewing and going through that exercising and validating that. So, you know, it will take some time, but we will be able to put that out to the market when everything has been reviewed. Though that ounce, the ounces in the ground from that mineral resource estimate will really move us beyond that early exploration play. And so 2024 is moving us, you know, into an area where we're focused more on wealth creation and shareholder value. And so there's going to be a lot of catalysts and news flow coming out this summer and into the fall.
Wonderful. So that's it for today for the Sun Summit update. Thank you so much for joining us, Sharon, and best of luck for the 2024 field season. And I'm sure we'll be checking in with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Kylie.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Mining Stock Daily. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Sharon Alexander, President of Sun Summit Minerals. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.